It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office on Monday released its analysis of the Better Care Reconciliation Act, Trump Care 2.0, and it's ugly, estimating that 22 million more Americans would be uninsured by 2026. Even those with employer-provided health care would be impacted, with 4 million losing coverage next year alone. Mental health and maternity coverage would be at risk, and lower financial assistance would make premiums unaffordable for many low-income people as premiums would rise over the next year. With the release of the CBO score came more uncertainty from the Republican caucus. In a series of tweets on Monday evening, Senator Susan Collins of Maine said she'd vote against a motion to proceed on the bill, tweeting, "I want to work with my GOP and Dem colleagues to fix the flaws in ACA. CBO analysis shows Senate bill won't do it. I will vote no on motion to proceed." CBO says 22 million people will lose insurance. Medicaid cuts hurt most vulnerable Americans. Access to health care in rural areas threatened. Senate bill doesn't fix ACA problems for rural Maine. Our hospitals are already struggling. One in five Mainers are on Medicaid. Senator Collins joining Nevada's Dean Heller and potentially Rand Paul and Ron Johnson, the latter two who object because the bill doesn't go far enough. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is insisting on a vote this week before lawmakers leave town for the 4th of July recess. There are 52 Republican senators, and he needs 50 yes votes to move the bill through the Senate. Democrats once again took to the Senate floor for a talkathon Monday night. Senator Elizabeth Warren spoke about the nation's opioid crisis and how the Medicaid cuts would leave those needing treatment hurting.
Under the Republican plan, health care costs will go up for most people. And even if someone can manage somehow to afford coverage under the Republican bill, the Republicans are willing to let insurance companies drop expensive benefits that the companies just don't want to cover, including, are you ready, opioid treatment. If this bill passes, it will devastate our ability to fight opioid overdoses. This isn't hypothetical. This isn't speculation. Before the Affordable Care Act became law, a third of individual market health plans just didn't cover substance use disorder services. About one in five plans didn't cover mental health services. The insurance companies don't want to cover these services. But the ACA made coverage mandatory, and that meant that no one in this country had to wonder when they showed up at a clinic whether or not their insurance would help them out. But the Republican bill opens the door to dropping those requirements. Millions more people could be left out in the cold at a time when they most need help.
Meanwhile, a group of lawmakers held court on the Capitol steps outside and on Facebook Live for 4 hours. It began with just Senator Cory Booker and Congressman John Lewis and grew to include other members and hundreds of people sharing their stories about losing access to Medicaid and private insurance.
We come here as members of the House and the Senate, and we make these decisions that affect the lives and future of our people.
What I found the most egregious was this capital gains tax cut for people making more than $200,000 a year, and it's retroactive. So it's literally a check out of the Treasury for
a
rich guy.
Sending money to the wealthiest
people
in America.
Thank you for being rich.
Sending money to the wealthiest people in America and cutting people off basic health care. And for anyone who has had any pre-existing condition, I have two girlfriends who survived cancer this year. Are they ever going to get insurance coverage again? They both have young girls at home. I don't know what their lives are going to look like, but they certainly don't have the kind of money that they can pay whatever an insurer asks them to pay.
Can I just say, if anybody wants to get closer and actually hear the conversation, don't feel so shy. We got a lot more people. Go ahead, sit down. Just sit down right here. We're going to have a conversation.
Thank you so much.
You guys can do that.
The Supreme Court officially wrapped up its term on Monday, giving a partial victory to the president on his travel ban, allowing the ban to go into partial effect, but excluding anyone who had a credible claim of a bona fide relationship with a person or entity in the U.S. The court voted 9-0 to hear the case in October. By a 7-2 vote, the court ruled in a major religious rights case that narrows the separation of church and state, finding that churches and other religious entities can't be flatly denied public money, even in states where constitutions explicitly ban such funding. Justices Sotomayor and Ginsburg dissented. The court agreed to hear a major case on whether business owners can refuse to service gay couples if they oppose same-sex marriage on religious grounds. This case involving a Christian baker in Colorado who declined to make a wedding cake for two men. Late Monday, the White House issued a statement claiming the U.S. had detected evidence of preparations for another chemical attack in Syria and issued a warning to Bashar al-Assad, pledging that his regime would, quote, pay a heavy price if carried out. The message appeared designed to set the stage for another possible military strike by Trump. After Assad allegedly used chemical weapons in the spring, the American military fired 59 Tomahawk cruise missiles at the airbase his government had used to launch the attack. And that's a bit of What's News for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate our What's News reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider a contribution. We are 100% listener supported and can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.